You're listening to the Vineyard Milwaukee podcast. For more information about Vineyard Milwaukee Church, visit vineyardmilwaukee.com. Now here's this week's message.
All right, welcome, welcome to our real last Sunday in this place. I know there was lots of disappointment for all of us when things kind of fell apart. But I have to admit, when I was walking in this morning, I felt a just sort of swell of gratitude for this place. I kind of think of this place as our stepping stone. And I actually felt that from the beginning. I actually always felt like this was meant to be a stepping stone for us. And it really has been. And it's been a huge blessing for us to kind of get our church launched. And so in many ways, I feel like this is an opportunity for us just to really express our gratitude toward God for providing this place when we had like 12 people and zero money. So it was really, we needed sort of something miraculous, and it was. So it really is a blessing. So I know a lot of you have been laboring, some more than others, but physically laboring a lot in the last few weeks in our new space. I know that my husband has come home. When I see him, he's covered in dust or something wet and lots of paint. And I have been doing actually a lot of laboring in prayer, believe it or not, I really have. And as I've been processing this whole thing, lots of different kinds of laboring going on, I really do feel like in many ways this feels very much like a birth, and both spiritually and if any of you have been around actual birth, I know some of you are around birth on a daily basis, you know that I had three kids, and you do your whole birthing plan, and you write it out, and you go to the classes, and you do all the stuff. But when the reality of the birth comes to fruition, like, you have no control over the process. Like, nothing goes according to your plan. It's a lot more messy and challenging and beautiful and crazy and totally out of your control. And I really think that often happens when the kingdom is birthing something new. It ultimately does come out of our control. And that's actually a good thing. Because if we had control over it, we'd be running the show, right? And if it's a movement of the kingdom, it's something this Holy Spirit's birthing, we have to release control to the Spirit. And so we have to hold the details loosely. And so I kind of feel like that's what's happening here, right? It's a little messy. It's not perfect. It's not like totally streamlined, but I think it's a good thing. And I anticipate what I'm sensing from the Lord is that he really is birthing something new in and through our church and in this new space we're moving to. So I'm cool with it. So you guys be cool with it too, all right? I think it's going to be good. So I know Dave already said this. I was outside during the announcements, but in case you just rolled in, we are doing our big work day this coming Saturday. I think it is a shorter day, though. I think it's just from 10 to 2. And at that point, it'll just be like banging out the last bit of the move, getting things set up, getting all ready for our first official launch next Sunday. Won't be perfect, but it'll be the official launch. So if you can be there to help on Saturday, that'd be awesome. Definitely try to be there on Sunday just to kind of celebrate and be prepared for the next season in the life of Vineyard Milwaukee. So we are starting a new series, actually, for the summer. We're going to be actually covering the book of Acts. And it's really cool because, as I've just been talking about birth, that's really what Acts is all about. It's actually the birth of the church, and the church being big church. So the bride of Christ, and we are one little small chunk of that. And so we'll be kind of journeying through how God ushered in the kingdom through his first church, and we're going to kind of just kick that off today. It is a kid-friendly service, so we're going to keep it a little shorter. We're going to actually watch a little video to kind of start us off, just to give us an overview of the first part of Acts. And if you were with us way back when we were back in our house, we used the Bible Project a little bit. If you've never heard of it, it's actually super cool. It's for all ages, including myself. They have little videos that give you like overviews of the book of the Bible. And some books of the Bible are really obscure. So it can be really helpful to have this little, and they do a really good job with it. And then if you want, they even give you a reading plan where you can like read through the Bible in a certain amount of time. And so, and it's like an app, you can get an app on your phone. It's pretty cool. So we're gonna start with the video because I thought even the kids might like it. They do a really great job. And then I'm just going to talk very briefly about it. And then we're going to take communion together and just spend some time in worship. All right? All right, cool. So I don't know if you could hear it well back there, but I think it's helpful to have an overview because Acts is really an amazing story. And so we're going to be breaking that down over the summer. And we actually have some guest speakers who will be preaching this summer. It's going to be really cool. So if you miss a week here and there, just follow along with us. You can follow the podcast. You can review the videos. That way you can kind of keep up with the big picture of Acts. But if you notice there's kind of a theme, and over, if you could like watch that video, like what would the theme be? I feel like my teacher now. Anyone want to take a guess? What's the big theme of Acts? What's everyone led by? The Spirit, right? So like that's the big theme of Acts. The Holy Spirit is poured out on God's people, and then everything that happens is like this really cool Spirit-led thing. And what they said the church was marked by was a place of generosity and healing. And that's still what the church is meant to be, a place of generosity and healing, and that's who we are. But what's unique about it, although there's all kinds of agencies and places throughout the city that are doing really generous, awesome things, is that the church is the only place that's empowered by the Holy Spirit to bring real kingdom hope, to bring real transformation, to bring real deliverance, bring real healing. And that's what makes the church unique. So just to kind of kick us off, I just wanted to read quickly Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, and verses 17 and 18. And he mentioned this in the video. It says, when the day of Pentecost came, and so Jesus had told his followers, stay in Jerusalem until the Spirit comes, until my power comes. So they're all just hanging out, having no idea really what he's talking about. And then this thing happens. So the day of Pentecost come, they're all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. And then there's a bunch of people there who are hearing people talk in their language, and they're like, what's going on? Everyone's thinking, are they drunk? This is insane. It's like first thing in the morning, and these people are acting kind of crazy. So everyone's kind of confused. And it says, some, however, made fun of them and said, they've had too much wine. Otherwise, are amazed. Like, they're speaking in my language. What's going on? So then Peter stands up. In a rather inspired speech, I would assume that the Holy Spirit kind of came on him and filled him with a lot of confidence and gave him words, because he convinced 3,000 people to become followers of Jesus in his one speech. But it says, then Peter stood up with the 11 and raised his voice, and he starts explaining to them that this was all predicted in the Hebrew scriptures they'd known their whole life. And he says in verses 17, 18, and he's quoting the prophet Joel here, he says, in the last days... And just so you know, the last days were starting then and continue on now. We're actually in the last days. God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. And so as I'm thinking about and been praying about moving into this new space and what God is birthing, here in Milwaukee, not just through Vineyard Milwaukee, but just through the city of Milwaukee, but that he's invited us to be part of through our church. I came across this blog from a pastor, a Vineyard pastor named Alan Scott. I don't know if you ever heard of him. He was a pastor in Ireland, and he felt called to move to the United States and take over the Anaheim Vineyard in California, which was actually, I believe, the first vineyard, or was definitely like the big birthing place of the Vineyard movement. So he's taken over, and he's really a big sort of prophetic voice in the Vineyard movement. The whole blog is awesome, but I realized I sent Greg to make up slides, and he's like, there's 42 slides, and it's a kid-friendly service, so maybe we need to shorten it. So I'm just going to actually read some of the highlights from it. But I really recommend taking some time to read through the whole thing. It's not super long. We're going to send a link to it on the announcements that'll come out this week, but it's really worth reading, because when I read it, I just felt so like excited, and I thought, yes, 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 this is the vision we have for Vineyard Milwaukee. Like this, I just felt like I was reading on paper what was in my heart, what God had been depositing and stirring in my heart, and so I just wanted to read some of that blog to you, and so I'm just going to kind of close this out with this. And so he's basically talking about what he feels like God is doing in the church, in the current church, and the church in the future. It says the church of the future will move from missional church to loving the city. The church of the future will make visible the beauty and glory of God throughout the entire city. She will do so by moving beyond the building and giving her life compassionately, generously, creatively, and resiliently to lead the city into life. Are there slides for this or no? Yeah. You got it? There we go. All right, did that one already. So next one. The church of the future will move from doing evangelism to leading the city into life. They learn how to wash the feet of their city, bending low for fresh grace and finding it in the face of the lost, lowest, and least. The focus of churches in the future will not be to conquer cities, but to create life-giving environments that love the city back to health. Therefore, expect churches in the future not to focus on winning people for Jesus or leading people to Jesus. Instead, they will love people with Jesus and allow his glorious, generous life to spill into them. The church of the future will move from working on the city to working with the city. Expect churches of the future to build bridges rather than walls, partnering together with other agencies and churches to supply the destiny of the community. The church of the future will move from ministry centers to compassionate hubs. Expect the church of the future to be known more for compassion towards the stranger than programs for the believer. They will have a reputation not only of bringing good news to the city, but being good news for the city. It will be deeply messy. I think that's something we do well. They will intentionally and increasingly structure for honor rather than control. They will be known for providing dignity rather than operating efficiently. The church of the future will move from ministry activity to spiritual authority, thus rewriting the story of the city. And this is kind of what I was talking about what is unique about the church being the place where the Spirit of God has been poured out and the authority he's given us to bring a deeper level of healing to people. It says the church changes the possibilities for the city because the church is the only community with all authority. Expect a shift from ministry activity to kingdom authority. While ministry activity can keep the church alive, only spiritual kingdom authority brings life to the entire city. Expect churches in the future to be marked by greater understanding and use of spiritual authority. Expect them to exercise authority humbly as they tackle impossibility and supply destiny through breaking oppression. Expect things to change as the church releases what she holds in her hands. The church of the future will move from renewal to releasing power on the streets. Expect the inbreaking of the kingdom where people's hearts are breaking. Expect leaders who frequently encourage folks, whatever else you do, find a way to take it to the streets, to connect the grace that is on you with the people who are around you. Do whatever it takes to get out there among the people, and God will keep giving you more. Giving away what God has given you to needy people multiplies what you have been given. The power was given to the church for the cities. It wasn't given so we could have better meetings or greater experiences. It was given to change the community, the whole community. With that in mind, expect the church in the future to break down the confines that separate much power from broken people. Expect her to broaden her awareness of who the kingdom is for, and in doing so, become awakened to all those moments when the kingdom might come. And finally, the church of the future will move on from seeking cultural relevance toward releasing culture. The church of the future won't practice cultural avoidance or hunger for cultural relevance. She will no longer be intimidated or impressed by culture. Instead of harboring hostility towards the culture, she will be anchored to the conviction that every good and perfect gift comes from the Father. As a result, the church of the future will recognize and reclaim the good in culture, learning to honor every expression of life. And I'll stop there. And like I said, these are expanded a little bit in the whole blog, but I just love that vision, and it really resonates with us and who we are and who I think God's called us to be and the church to be, and our heart is for the city, for the whole city. And several years ago, there were some other pastors from Ireland as well. God's really poured his spirit out in Ireland, who many years ago spoke a word over, Dave and I were at a conference, and they said they felt like God had given us three keys to the city of Milwaukee, and the keys were life, kingdom, and joy. And that has just, God just continues to bring that back to me and bring that back to me, that that's kind of the banner of our church, that we bring life, kingdom, and joy to the city. And it was interesting because as I was praying about this sort of birth in this new place, God reminded me of the color that I ended up choosing to paint the walls. We decided just to use a basic like white or antique white, like a soft white. And so I was like, no, I got to research this because I like to research paint color. So I do a big research and I find the most popular color right now in white that's being used. And it didn't hit me till later. I was just praying and God reminded me that the color is actually white dove. And if you don't know what dove symbolizes in the Bible, it actually symbolizes the Holy Spirit. It's used multiple times throughout the Bible, most notably when Jesus was baptized and they said the Spirit descended on him like a dove. In each of the Gospels, they refer to the Spirit as looking like a dove. So the color that we use to paint the new space is white dove. And if you haven't seen it, it kind of feels heavenly when you walk in, to be honest with you, because it's this huge, bright room with this beautiful, soft white, and you just walk in, it just feels like this, I don't know, you just kind of feel it. So I thought that was really cool. I don't know if it was just coincidental or prophetic or not, but definitely God reminded me of it as I was kind of praying about it. I thought that was really cool. So, ultimately, I think what's, as we move into this new space, just be praying that God will pour out his Spirit in a fresh way into each of us and into that neighborhood, and that it will spill out into the community and multiply into the city. And so we're just going to take communion together and spend some time just in gratitude for Jesus and ultimately his life, death, and resurrection for us, and then pouring his Spirit out on us, and spend some time worshiping. During our time of worship, if you would like prayer for anything, there will be some of us in the back that would be happy to pray for you. Otherwise, this is just really a time, I feel, of just really showing gratitude for who God is, for what he's done and what he's doing, and just a time to worship and show our gratitude toward him. But we'd be delighted to pray for you if something going on physically, emotionally, spiritually, anything happening in your world that you feel like you could use just kind of some, your brother or sister to come alongside of you and stand with you in prayer. We'd be happy to do that.